This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you tonight. We'll take a look at the spike in HIV results here in Victoria. New infections are up compared to the 6 months of the same period last year. And we'll also have a look at the second reported case of PrEP failure. Simon Ruth, CEO of the Victorian AIDS Council, will join us on the program. And a little later, we'll have a chat to the one and only Cyndi Lauper. It's been a while since we touched on the issue of HIV amongst our community, but there's a couple of things that need to be addressed. Here in Victoria, it seems like our new diagnoses are continuing to rise, and there has also been a second case of PrEP failing. So joining us to discuss this is Simon Ruth. He is the CEO of the Victorian AIDS Council. Simon, thank you very much for joining The Informer.
Good day, thanks for having me.
Let's begin with Victoria's HIV rates. This is a comparison study between 6 months this year compared to last year, is that right?
Yeah, so what was reported in The Age was looking at the first 6 months of this year compared to the first 6 months of last year, and we did see an increase in HIV over that 6 months.
Can we expect that to continue in the second half of this year, do you think?
Well, if you look at the figures for the 9 months or 10 months of the year, it does even out a bit more, but there is still an increase in the figures. If you break it down a bit more, though, what we do see, we have had a large increase in testing. Over the last couple of years, our testing has been increasing. We also know that men who have not tested for many years or have not previously tested are coming in, and men who do test are testing more often, particularly guys who are on PrEP right now. They're testing every 3 months. The other interesting figure here is when you break down people new infections compared to established infections, we're seeing a decrease in new infections and we're seeing an increase in established infections. So what that means is we're actually capturing people who have been infected for longer, and they're the people we want to capture. You know, they're the people out in the community thinking they're negative, being unaware that they're carrying the virus, and they're the people that we want to capture. So in the new infections, we've actually seen, even though there's an increase in overall infections, we've seen an 8% decrease in new infections this year, and that's a 20% decrease on the year previous as well, from 2014 to this year.
Now, that's based on a time period. Is that time period 3-4 years? What is that time period?
So I'm looking at the last 2 years. So we've seen a decrease of 8% from last year.
No, what I'm trying to clarify is when you say new infections, you mean literally newly infected, as opposed to people who have been living with HIV and undiagnosed. That time period is what? A 3 year period of undiagnosed, a 4 year period of undiagnosed?
I'm not sure how they classify it. I imagine it's probably around 12 months.
Right. Okay. Cool. Now we know. In that case, what we are seeing is those long-term or longer-term infected being, I guess, flushed out of the pool. That's got to be a good thing. How much of that has been brought around by people wanting to access PrEP and then discovering at that initial testing period before going on to PrEP that they are, in fact, HIV positive?
So the PrEP studies, the Vic PrEP study, found a couple of people were infected at their point of access. The PrEPX study, I don't think there were any so far who came in for the HIV test and discovered they had HIV. The people who were coming into clinics such as our Centre Clinic and our Pronto Clinic and the other clinics who were attempting to access from overseas between Vic PrEP and PrEPX, we were seeing an increase in that group. So people were coming in wanting to import PrEP themselves, and a number of them were discovering that they're HIV positive at that point. We're probably also managing to get guys at higher risk actually coming in for testing now. So I think our testing messaging is clearly working, and we're also making testing much more available. So through services like Pronto and then the other places where we're attempting to do the rapid testing, testing's becoming much easier, and the more easy we make testing, the more likely people are to take it up. If we can get home testing out there, that will also increase much more availability of testing, and we'll start to see, in the short term, we'll see the figures rise, but in the long term, we'd hope that we start to see decrease.
Just on testing, one of the things that we don't articulate very well is that a negative result only gives you a clearance of some 3 weeks or 3 months prior, up to 3 months prior. It's not necessarily negative today.
No, no, it's not. So I think to be safe, we usually say 3 months. With the fourth generation testing, it's as good as 2 weeks usually. But we would tell someone that if you're, and particularly for rapid testing, we would say if you're coming up with a negative rapid test, that means that, you know, 3 months ago you were negative. So it's not giving you a clearance for today, no.
And it's only giving you that if you've been celibate in that 3 months since your last test. So I think that's something we don't articulate very often.
We certainly do. If you come in for rapid testing at Pronto, we explain that to you. When we give you the finger prick test, we explain what are the limitations of the test. If you're going in for a normal test through a GP clinic, it probably varies from clinic to clinic and GP to GP.
Now, the Age reported also that there's been somewhat of an increase in AIDS-related deaths in the state of Victoria. It's small numbers, from 8 to 17 for the same period as last year. But this is in direct conflict to a statement we heard prior to the AIDS 2016 conference that AIDS in Australia was no longer an issue.
The Age did reported a rise in AIDS-related deaths. What that actually is a rise in deaths of people who are HIV positive. So nationally, not every state collects those figures anymore. New South Wales doesn't collect that figure anymore. In Victoria, we still do collect deaths, but it's deaths of people with HIV. So it's not necessarily they died of AIDS, they could have died in a car accident.
So the statement AIDS-related deaths is in fact incorrect.
It was a misreporting of those figures, yes.
I think it's important we clarify that because that's quite irresponsible.
You could say that, yes. People still do die of AIDS in Victoria. It's quite rare now, and people die of AIDS-related conditions in Victoria. It's still an important thing that we need to remember that not everyone's doing well with HIV. If you're newly diagnosed today and we can get you on treatment and get you to undetectable, you will live a long and happy life, probably no different to anybody else's. But for a certain group of the community who have never been able to achieve undetectable, who were possibly people who contracted HIV back in the 80s and early 90s before the treatments were very good, quite a few of those people aren't doing well. And we still need to look at how we support those parts of the community.
But if someone takes their own life or, like you say, got hit by a car, they are included in this figure that was reported in The Age.
Yeah, they're included in that figure. And that's the figure we keep in Victoria. As I said, New South Wales don't keep any figures around deaths anymore.
Rightio. What has brought about the increase in rapid tests or in testing overall, do you think? Why is it that there are so many people accessing testing and doing so more often?
It's probably a range of factors. The proper establishment of Pronto and people being aware that Pronto's there and that they can go in for a rapid test easily. They can book an appointment online and go in and do that has certainly made testing easier. The Seasons campaign that we ran for Drama Down Under last year, which you would have seen, Frank, with summer, autumn, winter and spring across him, and we ran that across the year, achieved results that were possibly the most successful campaign we've ever run in the Drama Down Under. Even though it didn't say you needed to test four times a year, the evaluation of that campaign said that I think 80% of people who knew the campaign actually understood what the messaging was. And there's also, with PrEP out there now, particular people are on PrEP, are very conscious that they need to get tested regularly. And so it's probably a combination of all those factors are seeing a large swell in the number of people getting tested. We're getting people who previously haven't tested for a number of years coming in to test, and people who do test semi-regularly are now testing more often.
We're speaking with Simon Ruth, CEO of the Victorian AIDS Council. Simon, I believe that campaign has been so successful, it's about to be rolled out in the Northern Territory.
It's a slightly different campaign in the Northern Territory. So the Drama Down Under is a Victorian campaign. Then the following year it will roll out across the country in different states. But the Northern Territory, when we first presented the campaign to them, said, well, the Territory doesn't have four seasons, they only have two seasons. And so we agreed that if they could find some money, that we would agree to reproduce the campaign for them. So we're in the process of producing the campaign around wet and dry. doing a territory-specific campaign, and we've changed the face. So for the first time ever, we've moved away from Frank, who's been our hero for 9 years now, and we've got Casey Conway, the former NRL rugby player, who will be the face of the campaign in the Northern Territory, and I believe that's due to launch on the 3rd of December.
And can I just say, not a bad get at all, just quietly. Well done.
And a lovely man, yes.
Now, we should move our attention to the second case of PrEP that has been reported in New York. A man has become HIV positive with a resistant strain to Truvada. The man appears to have acquired it from a casual partner who had a multi-resistant mutation of HIV. It is resistant to tenofovir, the main drug in Truvada. This is the second case, Simon Ruth. Is it something we should be concerned of here?
I don't know that it's something that we need to be overly concerned about. It's certainly something that organisations like mine need to watch and that the community need to be aware of. In all the PrEP trials, we never saw a transmission of PrEP. And PrEP trials went on for 4 or 5 years across the world. Tens of thousands of men participated, and women participated in those trials. We never saw a transmission of resistant virus. We've now seen two in the space of a year, both in North America. It certainly, if I turned to you and I said someone was using condoms and they contracted HIV, you probably wouldn't blink. PrEP is still by far the most effective HIV prevention tool that we have. It's close to 100% effective. We have over 100,000 people worldwide currently on PrEP, and we've had two of these infections, both very unlucky, both transmission of virus that was resistant to the drugs in Truvada. So, yes, they're unusual cases, and we'll keep an eye on those. If you compare PrEP to condoms in the long term have only been found to be 70% effective, and that's amongst people who say they use condoms all the time. So PrEP is still phenomenally effective, and it's probably still going to expand and be used more widely around the world, but we certainly do need to watch these cases. Both of the men who were infected are now being reported as being on treatment and being undetectable. They were both diagnosed very quickly, so that's a very positive outcome. There's probably other work we need to do with people living with HIV about ensuring that they're retained in care. Resistance to these drugs often occurs when people drop off care and go back onto care and the virus gets used to the drug. So there's probably work for organisations like mine to be doing to ensure that people, once you're on treatment, that we provide you all the assistance you need to stay on treatment and to maintain your undetectable status.
This is the second case where someone has acquired HIV through a multi-resistant strain of HIV. How prevalent is this multi-resistant strain?
I'm sure services like the contact tracing service we have here in Victoria would be working in Florida, and I think the other one was in Ontario, to be trying to track down the people with this strain and ensure that they're back on treatment and achieving undetectable status. I've seen some figures that suggest that it'd be less than 1% of people with undetectable viral load or with detectable viral load would have these sorts of strains. So it's still incredibly rare. And I think both these men were probably incredibly unlucky to have picked up the virus.
In fact, it by all reports seems that this particular latest case was 100% adherent to taking his PrEP medication because his partner is in fact HIV positive, which is why he was on PrEP to begin with, but it was from a third party that he picked up this multi-resistant strain. So very, very unlucky. And along the way, Simon, we're also seeing increases of other STIs, particularly amongst gonorrhea and syphilis.
Yeah, we're certainly, Australia's seeing rises across all STIs, particularly Northern Australia, across the top end, which is part of the reason that we've tailored Dramadan under specifically for them up there. So it's a more relatable campaign. The positive thing is that, these other STIs are treatable. They're not, they don't have the long-term impacts that HIV has. So it's certainly a challenge that we're going to have to confront and face, and we're going to have to start thinking of new ways to tackle those STIs. Certainly we know that people who are on PrEP are getting tested every 3 months, so the more often you test, the more likely we are to be able to quell those epidemics as well.
Simon Ruth, CEO of Victorian AIDS Council, thank you so much for joining us on The Informer.
That's right, Dan. Cheers.
And it's worth noting that over 100,000 people are currently taking PrEP worldwide. That includes millions and millions of sexual interactions, and there have only been 2 cases where PrEP has failed. The interesting thing, though, of note with this particular case is that the person involved was a top. Well, it's won 6 Tony Awards, 3 Olivia Awards and a Grammy. And the Australian premiere was last Saturday night. It is, of course, the much-anticipated and critically acclaimed Kinky Boots. With music and lyrics by Cyndi Lauper, booked by Harvey Fierstein, directed and choreographed by Jerry Mitchell, and produced here in Australia by Michael Castle, Kinky Boots is a heartwarming tale of an unlikely friendship. Along the way, they transform a failing shoe factory into a Kinky Boots success story, changing hearts and minds as they go. Ahead of the opening night at Her Majesty's Theatre last Saturday night, I caught up with the show's co-creator, the one and only Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thank you. Joy.
We are the LGBTI radio station in Australia.
Leave expectations at the door. Just let your eyes explore my cinematic flair from my boot to derriere.
And this show means a lot to us. Congratulations and thank you very much for doing such a wonderful job in a manner that respects all people.
Well, an inclusive world is a stronger one.
What is it that connects you to our community so directly?
I'm friend and family member.
Now let me blow your mind and light you up. And then here I am. Yes, ma'am, I'm alive.
I got to see firsthand. In my country, it was a strange occurrence to watch at that time, 2003. To hear the president not condemning hate violence against LGBTQ.
Now come and take my hand and welcome to the land of love.
And I felt like, you know what? It's our country too. And then I felt, if we could communicate to each other, to tell our stories to our friends, our family, the people you work with.
Once I was afraid, but then you came along. You put your faith in me and I was challenged to be strong.
Because most people are fair-minded. They don't know how different laws affect different people. And you could be working with somebody and really like them or love them because you have two families in life. One you live with, one you work with, which is kind of like this show, Kinky Boots, because Kinky Boots is really about two unlikely friends.
If you hit the dust, let me raise you up. When you bubble bust, let me raise you up. If you glitter us, let me raise you up. And
two opposite men, couldn't be more opposite. Who become friends, who learn acceptance, who work together with other people who also learn to accept themselves.
Now I stand up for myself, now I stand out from the crowd. Now I'm standing on high heels, if Dad could see me now. Feed the fire to take you higher, we'll light you up like a live wire. Celebrate you to elevate you.
Is really to accept yourself, and then you accept others too. Those who can't accept themselves have a lot of issues with other people. Oh, this bugs me and that bugs me. But if you look a little deeper, which it took me a long time to understand, you might find that what bugs you about that one particular person and that one thing that just works your last nerve is something that you do that you don't like about yourself. And that's the key, isn't it?
Women have been making bad choices since the beginning of time. Are you gonna be a
Kinky Boots reminds us of all of those factors, and you only have to look at the US election at present.
Well, our election is very sad and shocking right now, and one of the candidates is really just a reality star. He was lit with a big chair in a big boardroom, but that is not who he is. And I think I could revert back to a song that is in Kinky Boots called The History of Wrong Guys. And it goes like this. The History of Wrong Guys. Chapter 1, he's a bum.
2, he's not into you. 3, he's a sleaze. 4, loves the girl next door. 5, loves the boy next door. 6, don't love you no more. Makes you insecure. Makes you so unsure. Is so immature. Loves his mother more. Oh.
That's about it. Wanna move on?
The song that really got me last night was the wonderful one about the son not being his father.
Oh, not my father's son, yes. Which every man can relate to.
When I was just a kid, everything I did was to be like him.
It doesn't matter, straight or gay.
Under my skin.
It's a subject that most men don't talk about.
My father always thought.
They buck up and they continue on life.
If I was strong and fought.
Walking like walking wounded.
Not like some albatross. I begin.
And in this show, it actually addresses that issue.
To fit in.
And these two unlikely friends discover
powerless.
That they have a lot in common. Even though they have nothing in common, they have that in common, which is a very deep-rooted experience for most men.
It was never easy to be his type of man, to breathe freely was not in his plan. And the best part of me is what he wouldn't see.
It was interesting watching.
I'm not.
All kinds of people react to that song, including straight men, who tear up.
I'm not the image of what he dreamed of. With the strength of Sparta and the patience of Job, still couldn't be the one to echo what he'd done. The same Charlie boy, you and me. Charlie from Northampton. Meet Simon from Clacton. Let's make boots.
You know, it's most musicals women buy tickets for.
Ladies,
gentlemen, and those who have yet to make up their minds. As people all over the world clamor for Kinky Boots! Oh! It's time for us to get back to work.
This musical is really universal. It kind of like touches on all kinds of people.
All right, now we've all heard of the 12-step program, have we not? Yes, but what you can do in 12, I want you to know that we all can do in 6. Ow! And it goes like this.
All kinds of people in there, dealing with all their issues. It's interesting, and it's got a lot of redemption because people evolve. And that's the one thing. People evolve, you know?
And this show gives them permission to do so.
Well, I think so, yeah.
Wait. Hold it right there, Buster. Are you saying you'd like to take me out?
Yes.
Are you saying that you are actually available?
Yes.
And you still like girls?
Yes.
Carry on! Boom!
Need your fire to take
And that's Harvey. That's Harvey Fierstein weaving a tale. This really zeroes in on that one issue and also allows everybody to have a moment, which is fun too. Why do you want your kids, who might be gay, to be standing on the sidelines of life and watching other people live? Your friends and your family need to stand up for you. So the only way to do it in a real civil rights movement is to include everyone, not just the gays or LGBTQ, but the parents, the friends. You need your straight allies. That's what's going to push the law. You should have people come on with their folks and discuss the law and discuss how it affects them. And maybe the mother doesn't even know, or maybe the friend doesn't even know. And just tell your story. Just tell your story.
It's a beautiful show. I think it's compulsory for all LGBTIQ people to attend. And they should probably take all of their family along as well. Yeah, well, Mum will love it.
Dad, take your mom. Take your dad especially.
You change the world when you change your mind.
Just be who you want to be. Never let them tell you who you want to be. Just be with dignity. Celebrate your life triumphantly. You'll see.
Beautiful.
You'll see.
It's beautiful.
Just be.
Beautiful.
Just be.
You'll
see.
If you want to walk out of a theater feeling happy and hopeful, I think Kinky Boots is the show.
Cindy Lauper, thank you so much for joining us on Joy.
Thank you.
Kinky Boots is now playing at Her Majesty's Theatre for a limited time. More information at kinkybootsthemusical.com.au.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.